You're listening to Jeremy Beck on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
That's right, and I'm filling in for Mike Ryan on The Mike Ryan Show. Let's have a look at some news headlines. And Cuba, of course, we heard before about the hurricanes, and Cuba is without electricity. And the entire country, it seems, is the whole grid's collapsed. Power was initially knocked out in Cuba's western provinces, but subsequently the entire grid collapsed. Shows how vulnerable a country is, doesn't it? So Cyclone Ian, or Hurricane Ian, as they call it, it made landfall as a Category 3 hurricane early Tuesday on the island's west coast. And it has devastated Pinar del Rio province, where much of the tobacco is used to grow Cuba's iconic cigars. So, where are all those cigar-smoking people around the world? Where are they going to get their cigars from? Quite frankly, I think the world has bigger problems, but nonetheless, there will be some people who are upset. And certainly it shows how vulnerable a nation is when you get hit by a major disaster. We had one many years ago in Australia in the 1970s in Darwin. It basically wiped out virtually the entire city of Darwin back in the 1970s. And they call them cyclones here. Hurricane, cyclone, massive winds, massive devastation. It shows you that we need quality infrastructure to withstand these things. Very, very strong infrastructure. And even then, we have to expect some damage. But infrastructure should be designed in those areas where people are at risk of those disasters. That needs to be looked into, or we are going to face these disasters time and time again. Other headlines. Klobuchar mentions hurricane while saying Dems must win. So here the headline is referring to Democratic Senator Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota in the United States. And she said, "We just did something about climate change for the first time in decades. That's why we've got to win this. As that hurricane bears down on Florida, we got to win the midterms," she said during an appearance on MSNBC's Morning Joe. Christina Porchor, who is the rapid response director of Florida Governor Ron DeSantis' campaign, tweeted, "So the Inflation Reduction Act didn't stop inflation, but she expects us to believe it will stop hurricanes?" Porchor also commented, quote, "Florida has experienced hurricanes throughout recorded history before Democrats and Republicans existed. But the party of science will never miss an opportunity to play politics with a natural disaster. Gross and shameless," end quote. I agree, 100%. This whole nonsense about parading around about a climate crisis, well, I've done much research on the subject and I've looked at old newspaper archives, and it's very easy to find newspapers of 100, 200 years ago referring to shocking major natural disasters, whether it be floods or bushfires or all these things, weather events, extreme weather events, and they've always happened and they always will. It's the way that we deal with those crises is what matters, not blame it on man-made climate change. A lot of nonsense. Did you know that there are many ways you can listen to TNT Radio? Why not stream us direct from our website on your desktop, tablet, or mobile device, or download our app from the App Store? We even stream live on YouTube, Rumble, and Odyssey. We've got you covered on TNT Radio.
Stream us anywhere.
I listen on Alexa.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
In recent years, the world has seen major wildfires, or bushfires as we call them here in Australia. Notably, there's been some major fires in California in the United States and in the southeast of Australia. Much of the mainstream media blame climate change, but this is just fake news. My next guest has done some extensive research on the subject. Lawrence J. McQuillan is a senior fellow and director of the Center of Entrepreneurial Innovation at the Independent Institute. He received his PhD in economics from George Mason University, and he has served as chief economist at the Illinois Policy Institute, director of business and economic studies at the Pacific Research Institute, research fellow at the Hoover Institution, and founding publisher and contributing editor of Economic Issues. Welcome to TNT Radio, Lawrence.
Thank you so much, Jeremy. It's great to be with you.
Likewise. And you obviously have done a lot of research on the subject. The green lobby is very, very powerful, isn't it, Lawrence? What do you see that the danger is there?
Well, absolutely, especially in California. So what we've seen in California is over the decades, the governmental agencies responsible for land management in California, especially the forest lands, has been captured by environmental groups. And of course, they oppose any kind of human intervention into meddling with the pristine natural forests. And as a result, over time, the forests in California have just become overgrown with vegetation. They're basically tinderboxes at this point, ready to explode by any kind of spark whatsoever. And over the last few years, we've just seen series after series of mega fires across the state that have consumed millions of acres and killed dozens of people and, of course, destroyed homes and other structures. And it's all rooted in this vision of the environmental groups that any kind of human management, no matter how responsible the stewardship is wrong. You're changing Mother Nature and you're interfering with the natural processes. But as a result, then you get these explosive mega fires. And, you know, the bottom line is either we're going to, as humans, we're going to have to do responsible land management and reduce the fuels in these forests, or Mother Nature is going to do it for us. And that's what we've seen in California, is Mother Nature is taking care of it. But, you know, when nature does it, it's just, you know, an explosive firestorm that engulfs areas and it becomes uncontrollable.
Absolutely. And we used to have good forest management, and then we've done away with that and just let everything go to bush and just overgrown, and that's just a huge fuel load, and the greenie movement has pushed that. I've looked at some figures in the United States, and forest fires had burnt out tenfold the area in the 1930s that what occurred in the latter half of the 20th century. A tenfold, that's huge. And then after the 1930s, obviously, people in the United States realized the problem, and they had some good forest management. Can you tell us about what good forest management is and how we can use it to prevent big fires in the future?
Right. I mean, about 100 years ago, the National Forest Service here in the United States and also the state of California's forest management agencies developed this principle that all fires should be put out as quickly as possible. Even the Forest Service, the National Forest Service, had this motto that we put out every fire before 10 a.m. the next day. So rapid suppression was the overarching theme and prince strategy behind what they were doing. But when you do that, then these fuel loads grow and grow and grow if you're not doing proper forest management. So that involves things like, is backbreaking, dirty work to get into the forests, especially in some of these rugged terrain canyons and such in California, and do, you know, by hand, removing overgrown brush and small trees and bushes and things like that that can be, you know, great fuel for fires. But it really needs to be done, because if it's not done, then we see these explosive fires take off. So it's, you know, it's not glamorous work, but it needs to be done, and it needs to be done consistently and around the clock year round, especially in California, to get ahead of it. And it's just not being done at the level and the urgency that needs to be done in order to get a handle on this problem. And another problem too that we have in California is that the major utilities have caused, their equipment has caused a lot of the biggest fires that we've seen in recent years in California. So it's been, you know, a combination of poor management of the forest land in California, coupled with suboptimal maintenance of equipment and also suboptimal vegetation control around power lines. And, you know, we can get into the reasons for that. But again, part of the reason for that is that utilities in California have been spending more and more money on the green energy agenda. So they've been investing billions of dollars into, literally billions of dollars into green energy, for example, windmills and solar panels, rather than doing the day-to-day nitty-gritty work that needs to be done in terms of removing the fuels around their equipment. So, and that's not completely the power company's fault, because they've been told by the California state legislature and the regulatory boards that they now have to start switching over to green energy. So they've been investing more and more of their capital into these programs. But as a result, this necessary work that needs to be done to protect the citizens in California just isn't getting done.
Absolutely. And the problem with the green, so-called green energy, the wind turbines in particular, is that you need more poles and wires to reach out to all those wind farms. And more poles and wires means more opportunity for a power line to cause a fire, a wildfire. So do you see that as being a significant problem?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, it's more poles and wires. And also, as we've learned recently in California with these rolling blackouts, it doesn't supply the power that we even need today, let alone in the future when, you know, California Governor Gavin Newsom just signed legislation barring the sale of new gas-powered vehicles in California as of, I think it's 2035, that's going to go into effect. So can you imagine when all of these electric vehicles need to be charged with green energy, and there's not even enough power today to provide what's needed in the state? So we see these rolling blackouts occasionally. And so you can imagine what it's going to be in the future when all of these mandates kick in and people are required to buy electric vehicles. I mean, there's just not enough energy for what their grandiose plans of the new Green Deal.
It's just a nutty thing that they're so-called trying to save the environment, but to do what they're doing is destroying the environment. It's just absolute insanity. But it's all in the name of climate change or preventing climate change. But it puzzles me, because I look at historical events in terms of wildfires, and Sweden's a good example. In Sweden, they had some bad fires in 2018, and the media jumped up and down and said it's climate change because Sweden's a country that's close to the Arctic, and it, you know, this is shouldn't be happening. Well, I looked at historically at the start of the 19th century, you had masses of areas burnt out, about tenfold of what this so-called bad fire in 2018 in Sweden, and then they employed good forest management in the last 50 or 100 years, and subsequently the fires have reduced. It's crazy, isn't it, that the way they continue to blame climate change. Another thing is in Australia, we've been told that, oh, it's climate change causing our bushfires, but I've been looking at the old newspaper archives, and here's one from 1895 saying that there's an Australian epidemic of widespread outbreaks of fire. And this was August in 1895, which is our winter. And we were told in the last few years, oh, we never have winter bushfires. Well, the newspapers back then show that that was wrong. Do you have similar examples there in California?
Yeah, that's a great point. In California, for example, back at like in the 1800s, about 4 million acres of forest land would burn every year. And compared to, you know, recent years in California, that's about twice or three times the amount that typically burns in California. And we think that's a, you know, a huge tragedy right now. And it is, because it's happening in an uncontrolled way. But if you look at what happened back in the 1800s, 4 million acres burned, but about half of that amount, 2 million acres, were set by Native American tribes intentionally as prescribed burns to prevent, you know, these mega fires that we're seeing today. So sometimes, you know, the best way to fight fire is with fire, but in a very controlled way of doing it, so that it doesn't get out of hand, and it burns what needs to be burned and doesn't burn what shouldn't be burned. You know, there's a science behind it, and there's companies in California and around the world actually that do this sort of thing responsibly. And so so you can't just go by the number of acres that burn. And like maybe more acres should burn in California than that are not burning today, but it would be done in a responsible way. It's actually the cheapest way to remove fuel loads is by burning it. But again, it has to be done right.
Exactly right, yeah. Lawrence. So we do need to take a break now, and then we'll be right back. This is TNT Radio.
You should hear what Hervé Morich is talking about.
Apparently, Germany has seized control of three oil refineries owned by Russia's state oil giant Rosneft, as it seeks to secure energy supplies in the wake of what's going on in Ukraine. It marks an escalation of the energy war between Russia and the EU. Olaf Scholz, Germany's chancellor, said he's prepared for the risk of retaliation from Mr. Putin over the oil refineries. Is history repeating itself? We just keep going from one clown show to another. Yeah, this trajectory that we're on certainly does not look good. We did see yesterday Nord Stream 2 will basically be replaced by Russia's sending oil over to the east, so the Russians really don't care. And also Turkey will pay for a quarter of its Russian gas in rubles. So there goes more of that de-dollarization. Putin has come out saying the West has for decades sought to dismantle Russia and is now trying to use Ukraine as a tool for achieving this goal.
Hervé Morich on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
On the day that he was inaugurated, the Washington Post had an article on impeaching him.
I, Donald John Trump, do solemnly swear.
Donald J. Trump is now president of the United States.
They had an absolute legitimate meltdown.
If you try to change a system that big, the system fights back.
The story behind the biggest election takeover in history.
We're only now being able to finally confirm exactly how this worked.
Mark Zuckerberg and his wife are donating more money to local governments ahead of the election. $100 million on top of a $300 million gift.
The most money any individual has ever spent to win a presidential campaign in the history of our country.
I actually became infuriated that someone had allowed Zuckerberg to tip the scale.
The election was bought way before Election Day.
They stole it fair and square. They changed the voting rules in the middle of the game.
A nation divided.
This was the greatest billionaire assault on election integrity we've ever seen.
A billionaire-funded plot against the president.
Do you believe that they used the COVID emergency as an excuse to pull this partisan voter turnout operation?
Am I allowed to give you a one-word answer? Yes.
Rigged.
It was a rigged election. People have to find out what happened.
At SalemNow.com.
Democracy is under attack. Western governments are trying to regulate the internet to shut down free speech. The Australian government has partnered with Twitter, Google, Apple, Meta, Facebook, TikTok, and Yahoo to regulate what Australians can and can't say on the internet. Disagree with what government is saying, and you'll be shut down and could face severe penalties. To find out more, go to digi.org.au. Lighting the fuse for freedom. This is TNT Radio.
And this is Jeremy Beck, and my guest is Lawrence McQuillan. And we are talking about bushfires or wildfires. Now, you mentioned, Lawrence, about what's really controlled burning or prescribed burning and how important it is. And also, it's the cheapest way to remove this fuel load. So tell us more about this prescribed burning.
Right. Yeah, it's usually done in very small acreages. And you want to make sure the weather conditions are appropriate for doing it. And so you try to, you know, burn only the, in very low intensity fires, the undergrowth, and allow the major trees then to be unharmed. And in California, though, to do this, you need a permit. Oftentimes, you have to get a company that's licensed and bonded in California to do the work. And even if you have a permit, it doesn't mean you can do it, because the local air quality management boards can also say that the conditions aren't right for you to do it. And so you can be prevented from doing your burn, even if you have a permit. And last but not least, the state can pull your permit at any time and say, well, we've done enough of these right now and we don't need to do more. So we're not going to allow you to have your permit and go ahead with the project. So it's really difficult to do in California. And as a result, we don't see enough of this being done. In other states, for example, in Georgia, which is in the southeastern part of the United States, which is also very wooded, they make it very easy to get a permit to do prescribed burns. They want to encourage it. Their rule is within 24 hours to get a permit to anybody who requests it. And they want to see this work done because they know how successful it is and how low cost it is in terms of preventing major outbreaks of megafires. So if you compare the two states, you really see a difference in terms of their acceptance of the practice, their encouragement of the practice, both in terms of the bureaucracy, but also just in allowing people to get the permits they need quickly to do it.
And what about another way to clear this fuel load, and that is having more agriculture in certain areas so that the cows and the sheep can eat all that grass, which would otherwise be extra fuel load?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great suggestion. There are communities now in California that are bringing in goats, for example, and sheep to eat the grass, which is a great idea. You know, they'll spend a couple weeks there, and they really do clear it out well and do a great job of it. And so we're seeing more and more of that in California, which is a good thing. And we're starting to see the utilities do more things like undergrounding power lines to keep them from sparking fires. Pacific Gas and Electric, one of the major power companies here in Northern California, has pledged to do to underground 10,000 miles of power lines over the next decade. We'll see if they live up to their pledge. They've broken a lot of promises in the past, but that would be a good thing. Insulating the power lines is even cheaper and faster. It would probably be a better approach, actually, in most cases, to insulate the lines so that if they hit each other, or they hit a tree or something like that, they won't spark a fire. So there's lots of things that are being done here to try to prevent fires and or even rapid suppression of fires. Another one is the state of California has bought 9 Firehawk helicopters, which are the state-of-the-art firefighting helicopters in the world. They bought 9. They have 3 more on order. And these things are pretty amazing technology. They can dump about 3 times the water load that the previous helicopters could. And most importantly, though, they can fly at night. So they have night fighting ability. And, you know, it's often easiest to fight fires at night because temperatures drop, winds drop, humidity goes up. It's easier to get a handle on the fires at night. So These helicopters have really been a game changer throughout California and many fires this year. So that's been a major technological development that this recent investment in the state-of-the-art technology.
Sounds great. Now, we've run out of time. How can people find out more about you and your research, Lawrence?
They can go to our website, independent.org. And on the website, I have a report called California Wildfires, Key Recommendations to Prevent Future Disasters, which gives about 26 different recommendations on what can be done to help prevent these disasters in the future.
Okay. Well, thanks very much for coming on to TNT Radio. Lawrence McQuillan, thanks very much again. We'll go to the news headlines now. This is TNT Radio.
Matt Boyland here with a look at your TNT headlines. Four Russian-controlled regions in Ukraine's east and south have voted to break away from Ukraine and become part of Russia in a series of referendums. NASA's Mega Moon rocket will remain grounded for at least another 6 weeks, thanks to a series of rolling setbacks, and Hurricane Ian has cut power to the entire island of Cuba after smashing into the island's west coast on Tuesday.
We're at a party. Three little kids were playing in the pool, all under five. Adults were busy talking, glanced over, noticed a little one underwater. I think she needs help. That's how easily something can happen. It only takes a few seconds. Don't worry, the party had a happy ending. But we need to remember, fence the pool, shut the gate. Teach your kids to swim, it's great. Supervise, watch your mate, and learn how to resuscitate. I'm Laurie Lawrence. Kids alive, do the five.
Silence for thinking differently? Silence for thinking differently. Not here. Silence for asking questions? Not here. Not here. Silence for discussing the other side of the story? Not on TNT Radio. Join the conversation anytime. Search TNT Radio on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Getter, or Gab. Download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk, TNT Radio.
This is Jeremy Beck filling in for Mike Ryan. Now, California is leading the way for America in so many ways. Entertainment, culture, immigration, homelessness, crime, corruption, bad government. Governor Gavin Newsom is at the center of government. He's dodged a recall and looks to be headed to higher office, maybe the highest in the land. Mike Netta is the vice chair of Rebuild California and is a veteran of distribution, sales, and marketing. He has served in senior executive roles at Corporate Express and Staples. He is now applying his business expertise to state politics to create a powerful team of volunteers and allied organizations to further the cause of conservatism in the state of California. Using the power of social media, Mike has helped spearhead the effort to recall Gavin Newsom. Welcome to TNT Radio, Mike.
Jeremy, it's a delight to be on Global TNT Radio from literally halfway around the globe tonight. How are you doing?
Great. I'm in Melbourne and TNT is headquartered in Queensland and the Gold Coast, so we are truly global. So we are the station that does not censor you. You can speak your mind, and TNT Radio gives people the truth that you won't get from the mainstream media. What are the best things about California?
Well, let's start with some of the great things about California. If nobody's been out there, they really should visit. We have 3,000 miles of coastline. We have mountains. We have deserts. We have literally a foreign country on both, almost on both ends. Canada's a little bit further up. There's a lot of great things about California, most especially the weather. And that's how it grew, Jeremy, into the largest state in the union. For those not familiar, 40 million people live in California. It's 12% of the United States population. And trust me, it's not because of the politics. It's because we have beautiful scenery, great weather, and really a lot of good things going for it. The challenge we have in California is we have a beautiful state. We've allowed bad politicians to take control of an economy, which they tell us, if it was a standalone, be ranked fifth in the world. So I'm also going to tell you, Jeremy, that for anybody out there and you may be in Australia, you may be in Romania, you may be in Hungary. Why would I, should I care about California? You should care about California because our economy has a massive ripple effect, not only in the United States, but literally throughout the world. When we're doing things correctly, it's got a positive effect on the world. When we do things incorrectly, it has an incredible negative effect on the world. And because we have a politician at the top called Gavin Newsom, who, before you give him that promotion in the introduction, let's hold off on that if you don't mind, okay?
Yeah.
He's led a woke left that has done a horrible job at managing the state over the last 20 to 30 years. We literally in California, not in the United States, have become a one-party rule that we, the people of California, have allowed to happen. So there's a lot of great things about California, but it's hit the point where for the first time ever in the U.S. Census, California's population has dropped from previous censuses. In fact, last year alone, 363,000 people moved out of the state, and it's the first time ever that we've lost a congressional seat, which is judged in the U.S. by population.
Yeah, that's huge. Actually, population reduction is a big sign of an absolute crisis, because populations always grow in healthy economies. And California is huge. I mean, Australia is here, where our economy is small by comparison of just your single state. Now, obviously, that's a huge problem, but what are the other problems that California faces? And is it purely the way it's governed?
Well, it's not purely the way it's governed. Let me explain a little bit about California, because I know a lot of people out there view it as part of the USA, right? We're part of a big country. But some unique things about California, where we have 40 million people, to put in perspective, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Australia, which has 16 more times land mass, has about, 28 million people? So think about that. We have 40 million people. However, one of the challenges of California is we've become a consumer of things versus an exporter. Let me explain. When you talk about the oil pipelines and gas pipelines that are around the United States and you report these stories, they don't run to California. They don't run through the Rocky Mountains. So where our oil production that we do is either imported or has to be refined and produced in California. Our water that we produce for a population this big mostly comes from other states. So one of the biggest problems California has right now is, you, first off, you have the environmentalist. And Jeremy, if anything happens to me in the next week, if I trip over a curb, if I go out on this particular broadcast, blame it on climate change, because apparently climate change is responsible for everything, and it's all apparently my fault. Now, they've taken that narrative over the last 20 years, and what they've done is this. So we have droughts in California, shocking, right? Because we haven't had droughts in our history. But the problem is we dump one third of our water into the sea instead of saving it in reservoirs and behind dams. And so we're dumping because we need to save a little fish that's about the size of a smelt. And so we actually dump about a third of our water that comes in it by natural rainfall and snowpack to the sea. Let me get back to that. And of course, as you know, Jeremy, oil is a very evil thing because it does things like provide power and provide goods and services, right? So the woke left led by Newsom wants to stop oil production. Problem is, of course, oil and, power and water are two really basic things that civilization likes. And the problem we have in California is it's reached a boiling point where the public itself is kind of angry because we literally are running out of water. You can't make this up. And when the dams go really low, the turbines that produce power don't spin. And if we can't pull oil down, then how are we getting power? So the problems in California we have are literally beyond some of the basic ideological things that the left would like to put forth, right? That you hear all the time, right? Well, we need to pay attention to this segment. We need to do this. We need to do that. I'll get back to that in 1 second. But the reality is, government's job, and I don't care if you're in Australia, I don't care if you're in Canada, I don't care if you're in Mexico, your basic job should be to provide basic goods and services to the public, like good roads to drive on, water to drink. I think everybody likes water, Jeremy. I haven't met you personally. I'm assuming that you do, right? Most people like power and lights. It's kind of a thing we've grown accustomed to in civilization. And then we have a couple added major problems in California called the homeless. There are 160,000 homeless people in California that Gavin Newsom, in his uninfinite wisdom, has and his woke left, where he's out of San Francisco, have been trying to solve for 10 years. Now, why 160,000 is a really large number compared to the state of California, it should be able to be solved. And in spite of all the beauty that I tried to paint you with the word picture, right? And we have wildfires and we have other disasters that happen too, but let's put that aside. We have all this beauty in a state. But when you think of Los Angeles and when you think of San Francisco as a postcard, if you go to downtown LA, where 10 million people live in Los Angeles County, and take a look at people literally living on the street in squalor and tents, and you go to San Francisco and see open drug use, et cetera, and homeless people living on the street, a problem that the left can't seem to solve. So, of course, we have to be nice to everybody, right, Jeremy? And it's not working out real well. And then we have an additional problem. And that, of course, as you know, Jeremy, we shouldn't be mean to criminals, right? That would be a bad thing. I mean, yeah, my
let them
God,
run wild.
These Don't poor people have had bad use. You know what I mean? I mean, when they kill or they rob or they hurt somebody, right? That's really not their fault. Unless, of course, you happen to be a victim. Now, the problem is in California, as we're paying so much attention to the criminals, we've paid no attention to the rising crime. Homicides in LA are up by about 30% in a city of 5 million this year.
Big, big stuff. And Newsom obviously is a big problem
the
there, but Biden.
The public is?
I was just going to say, Biden is also a problem for your whole country, but Newsom has a lot to blame. Why was he not recalled? I just don't understand. Since you've been governed so badly, why wasn't there such an opposition to him?
Well, there is an opposition to, but let me explain a little bit that's hard to get your arms around about the United States a lot. In most countries, you know, you might have a 90%. I think you have about a 90% voter turnout in Australia, right? You do an election, people show up. The problem we have in California is most people don't show up for elections. And the reality is, and there's some good news out of this, where people talk, California's really blue. It's a left state. It's far gone. That's not exactly true. Here's the political makeup of California. There are 22 million, give or take, registered voters. I didn't count them today. That's approximation from the voter files, okay? Mm. There's about 10 million Democrats and about 5 point, and Democrats, for everybody out there, is the party of the blue or the left or the woke. Mm. There are about 5.3 million Republicans, but there's 6.5 million people that are not registered for either party in California. But literally, before we paint all the Democrats as being bad, understand many of the Democrats have had it with their extreme portion too. In the recall, here's the problem. The California Republican Party, I'm going to say it, the party of the right, has become so, can I say the word weak or lame? Or ineffective, right? Not on a national basis, but in California, that this recall that Orrin Heatley and I started, which, for a quick primer for everybody, was the largest initiative in American history. And just so you know, it's actually, to our knowledge, second in the world only to Brexit. It required over 1.7 or close to 2 million wet signatures. You run around and try that sometime, get 2 million people to sign anything in 160 days. And by the way, about 35% of the people that signed it were not of the party of the right, of the Republicans, and were Democrats. But then the election came along and the Democrats were running very scared. Oh my God, this can't be happening. You can't be recalling our king. And so they moved the election up, as they're entitled to do with a recall. It's complicated, not time to go into that today, especially before break. But then 2.2 million Republicans didn't bother to vote. Only
That's crazy, isn't it? Well, we will take a break right now and then we'll come right back. This is TNT Radio.
Give me a minute with TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
I love when conservatives come to the rescue of other conservatives. Tooting their own horn, Fox News says Facebook has reversed a permanent ban on conservative children's book publisher Brave Books after Fox Business started asking questions about the ban. Brave Books publishes books for 4 to 12-year-olds. They told Fox that Facebook suspended them and denied an appeal. The publisher says they put out books that have pro-God, pro-America, and anti-woke values. Brave Books founder Trent Talbot called the suspension an existential threat to the company since they rely on Facebook advertising. The publisher produced a Facebook message which provided no explanation for the ban and stated that it was their final decision. Talbot called the incident a prime example of big tech today, adding they shut down small companies who say anything contrary to their woke agendas. And according to Talbot, a suspension from Google earlier this year was also reversed after Fox News reported on it. Thanks for giving me a minute. I'm Steve Malzberg for TNT Radio.
In this day and age, everybody deserves the right to access phone and internet services. Whether you're from regional, rural, or remote Australia, the Regional Tech Hub can independently assist with providing advice on connectivity options in your local area, or work with you and your service provider to resolve outstanding issues with phone and internet. And our service is absolutely free. Find out more by visiting regionaltechhub.org.au or by calling 1300 081 029. RTH is an initiative of the Australian Government, delivered by the NFF.
Democracy is under attack. Western governments are trying to regulate the internet to shut down free speech. The UK government will regulate and control disinformation and misinformation. Disagree with what government is saying, and you'll be shut down and could face severe penalties. To find out more, go to ofcom.org.uk. Lighting the fuse for freedom. This is TNT Radio.
And this is Jeremy Beck, and my guest is Mike Netta. And Mike, we are discussing the horrible state of California under Governor Newsom. Where is Newsom most vulnerable?
Newsom is most vulnerable in the fact that he's not a very good governor, and it's catching up to him rapidly. Even his own party is getting angry at him. Now, to put in context a couple things. Why Newsom has been way across our country in New York and Texas babbling about this and that. He literally, as of tomorrow, has 3 days left to go through 550 bills that the legislature has put before him. To put in perspective, that's about twice the number of bills that all Australia passes in a year. Okay. He's already had 1,100 on his desk. But the economy, he sees around the corner that he can't even sign the bills that his own leftist party wants him to sign because there isn't the money to fund it. And the reality is that Gavin Newsom, as his record gets more exposed. Now, for many of us familiar with politics, okay, especially in California, we're like, Newsom, he sucks. We all know about Newsom. Most of the country isn't aware of it. And there's rumors, even though, of course, Jeremy, he vehemently denies it, which is the first sign any politician is going to do something, that he's going to run for president in 2024. Let's not forget, although he's in an election cycle still in 2022, and he'll probably win, but the more he runs around, the more the record of California will be exposed. And the more financial exposure that will be out there, that this alleged surplus that we have was mainly supplied by the federal government, that the fact that we're running out of water again. Again, I want to go back to the basics here. We can get very deep and say we're even most vulnerable, but let's start with the basics. We literally were told to cut back on our water in LA, or they were going to shut it off for a 13-day period. As he's passing, signing it, bill, making a really big deal, we're going to have all electric cars, whether you like it or not, by 2035. They then, during a heat wave here, said, hey, don't charge electric cars because our grid's breaking down. That was 2 days afterwards. Literally. I mean, so it's almost like as the public hears in California, unfortunately, as I mentioned, most people really don't pay attention until it's in your face. It's when you talk water, power, boots. Let's not forget, we're supposed to be building a $100 billion bullet train that was supposed to cost $10 billion, that was supposed to go all the way from Los Angeles to San Francisco, 2,000 miles, 8 years ago. That train is now supposed to cover, I think, about 100 miles, has not been built, and is $50 billion with a B over budget. And by the way, still isn't running. So as more and more of California politicians get exposed to how badly they're running things like the state. And Jeremy, relating to national politics, can I do that for a second here?
Yeah, sure. Go. Yeah.
Okay. We do have one. I talk about how California is a consumer. We take other people's water. We take power from Arizona. We take oil from China because that's where Gavin's buddies live. We allow the EDD to squander the federal government's money, $36 billion in EDD fraud. But there's one thing that California does really well in politics. You know what that is?
Yeah.
We export really bad politicians to Washington. And for everybody out there who's going, who is Kamala Harris? She is the former senator for a moment, a former Attorney General of California, and she's a laughing hyena, jackal of a VP. And let me tell you, no matter what you think of Joe Biden, and I don't think much, I wake up every day and pray he's still alive. Because let me tell you something, if Kamala Harris, the former California politician, gets to be in charge of the United States, you're going to have a new neighbor in Australia, and it's probably going to be me. Our head of health.
I know she's very unpopular. I've seen the opinion polls. No, that's
an
terrible
understatement. Okay. Mm. Only that. So, and by the way, another politician you've never heard of. Let me take a step back. So, Xavier Becerra, or Baccarat, because Biden hasn't pronounced anything right, well, ever. Okay. Was the Attorney General of California after Kamala Harris. Okay. What during his watch, $36 billion with a B of unemployment fraud took place during COVID. By the way, this is over about a year and a half, okay? And 70% of that money left the country and nobody knows where it is. He was supposed to be kind of keeping his eye on his attorney general. So Biden, in his infinite wisdom, said, why don't you come to Washington and be in charge of all welfare for the United States? Because you did such a wonderful job not watching over $36 billion of fraud lost in a year and a half in California. So what's going to catch up pretty soon, to answer your question, what's going to take Newsom down? Exposing how badly California's run. Again, think about something. The governor of our state is supposed to be analyzing, walking around with his head in his hands, 550 bills he has to sign in the next 72 hours. He's been in New York, been on TV shows. He's been in Texas. He's challenged the governor of Florida, which for those of you out there is about 3,000 miles away, to a debate why he's supposed to be running for governor of California. He's literally trying to take the national and global attention off the job that he's doing or not doing. The shiny object, look over here. So the reality is, what's going to take Gavin down? The same thing that got the recall on the ballot. We had a great gift, Jeremy, an incredible gift in getting the largest volunteer effort in American history done. You know what that was?
Yeah, what?
It's Gavin himself. Literally a politician who, why he's shutting down his subjects from leaving the house, is caught dining at a $1,500 a plate restaurant called the French Laundry. It is, but wait, you got to let me get this in before the end there.
Yeah, just last week. You got 5 minutes. Yeah.
I know. Just last week, and you can't make this up. If comedy writers were to come to me, they go, dude, you took our job. How did you write this fiction about California? No. This actually happened. Gavin Newsom, why he goes on the news a week ago telling everybody, please, turn your air conditioner up to 80. Shut off your power. We're running out of power. He does this on TV in a long sleeve fleece jacket zipped all the way up with a picture of a polar bear on it, Jeremy. In other words, his house is 60 degrees, but pay no attention, my subjects, to how I look. That is literally a governor who lives in a $7.5 million mansion. What we call the limousine liberals, that's what's going to take Gavin Newsom down. And what
I think he will be gone just because of the reasons you say, but California is still a blue state. We were talking before about the blue states and the red states. Do you see it ever becoming a red state?
Oh, yes, I do. Mm. Let me explain why I do. Again, I glazed over numbers pretty fast, because I'm a math guy and kind of a public speaking body, Jeremy. You got to get used to me, right? And I don't want to overwhelm your audience with numbers because they go, this guy really needs, he needs to be in a home. Referring to me, of course, not you. Here's the reality. Again, there are 10 million Democrats, but many of the average Democrat, this is going to be shocking to you, Jeremy. They like water and they like power. Okay, it's totally shocking. Many of the Hispanic vote that we talk about really are really good Catholics and don't like where the left is going. Now, again, we've got 6.5 million people compared. So there's 10 million Democrats, 5.3 million Republicans. And that's what everybody reports, right? Well, they outnumber them 2-1, but they kind of forget that segment in the middle. That's 6.5 million and growing rapidly, because they've kind of given the New York salute, look it up if you don't know what it is, to both parties. Let me explain to you something that's a real glimmer of hope in the 3 minutes I have left.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, go for it.
All right.
Yeah.
Orrin Hatley and myself, I'm going a little bit slow. I'm taking a breath, Jeremy. Stick with me. All right. Okay. I have to inhale once in a while. Wait, that's what Clinton said. Story for another day. The reality is, okay, that everybody out there, you really got to understand this story. Six ordinary people. I have no political experience, Jeremy. Zero. Orrin Hatley is a retired sheriff. I'm a business guy. As you read my bio, we have a tech guy. We have an accountant. And six people decided. What we didn't know when we got on the ballot was, again, the largest initiative and the largest volunteer effort ever, almost in the history of the world. Six ordinary people, and Gavin paid no attention to it. He wrote a narrative and said, the right wingers. People can do anything if they put their mind to it. Again, we have the help of Gavin himself, because he's such a moron. But also get your arms around this. You ask, why did the recall fail? Gavin Newsom, when he got elected governor of the largest state, did it with 27 million. To defend his crown in the recall in a short sprint, he spent $90 million. Again, represent six ordinary citizens. So the people do have a say, and the idea of the recall wasn't just to recall the governor. We accelerated election cycle. It takes a long time to wake up Sleeping Beauty, which is California, and I ain't no Prince Charming brother, but trust me, we are going to do it. Rebuild California is who we are. We are a movement of the people moving forward to make things happen and rebuild our state to the bright and shiny object it should be for the world. You can go to rebuildcalifornia.com. You can read about our five pillars. You can listen to our town hall that we do, radio shows like I'm lucky enough to be on right now. And you can hear how the people of California, both the left and the right, are uniting against King Gavin himself. We the people will prevail because we like water, we like power. Unless you own a tank company, you probably don't like the homeless. Unless you're a criminal, you don't like crime. Rebuild California is the power of the people, and I'm very excited to lead an army of 70,000 people.
Okay, Mike Netta, this is great to have you on TNT Radio, and you've just run out of time, just in the right time. So we're heading up to the news in a few seconds. This is Jeremy Beck filling in for Mike Ryan. This is TNT Radio.